woman on Wednesday night. Streams of Janet Jackson's Nasty up 250% in the last day and a half.
That's even more a bad part of the story than the actual calling of the name. That part that this song goes viral because of that.
Oh, I heard this yesterday. The answer is Nasty Women and Bad Hombres. You know what the question is? What are the signs on the bathrooms at Trump Tower? Oh, I like that. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion brought to you by Window World, the number one replacement window company in the United States. Online at windowworldst.louis.com. I am Paul Harris, Dan Strauss, Ian Geis here with me, and Colin Jeffrey joins us now for the showbiz segment of the show. Hi, Colin. How are you?
Doing well. How are you today, Paul?
I'm doing fine. We have a couple of movies to get to, starting with the new one from Tom Cruise.
Yes. Jack Reacher, Never Go Back.
Now, I did not see the first Jack Reacher movie. How was it?
I thought it was fun enough. It wasn't a great movie by any stretch, but I thought it was going to be one and done. It was a different story for an action movie. It wasn't just sort of this generic, oh, these bad guys are after me, I have to stop them. Jack Reacher is a former military police officer, but he was an investigator in the MPs and is very good at investigating crimes. In the first one, he's called to the scene of a mass shooting where they believe a former member of the Army killed people with a sniper rifle shooting across the river. And it's sort of a whodunit, and was he set up, and who set him up?
Mm-hmm.
Never Go Back picks up some point after the first one. He's been sort of wandering homeless. He doesn't really have anywhere that ties him down. And in this case, it opens up with him busting open a case of a sheriff or something selling illegal immigrants who they capture on army land. It's kind of confident. Don't worry about that. But it opens up with him busting up a case, and then he kind of is off in the wind. But he begins a relationship from afar, not a romantic relationship, but just kind of helping her out. Kobe Smulders from
How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother and The Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
He begins, because she is now taken over his role as the major in the 110th Division of Military Police or whatever. So he's helping her out. They start talking. He goes to Washington, D.C. to visit her. And when he gets there, someone else is in her office, and he's been informed that she is facing espionage charges. Well, this just doesn't jive. Something doesn't smell right.
It's a setup, I tell you.
And it becomes much more generic. It's a story about war profiteering, possibly, independent military contractors, the Army not keeping track of their money, and Jack Reacher being right. It's supposed to be tongue-in-cheek. These are based on a series of books by Lee Child. And if you're familiar with the books, you know the feeling of these movies. Or if you're not, if you've read Robert Pattinson with the Alex Cross or any of those garbage, the Ryan, and they're not bad books. I'm just saying you pick them up and they're airport reading.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. They're based on that. It's sort of,
I believe they are major bestsellers that you're putting down here.
You said garbage. Yeah. Almost said garbage.
No, but he didn't say garbage.
He was dissing some major bestsellers. They are some of our finest authors.
Yeah. They're never going to have a class.
I heard that Colin hates these writers.
Yeah. Yes. Teams of writers. They're writing 12 books a year.
Okay.
Here's a hint. He's not tied to a typewriter writing these books 24 hours a day.
No one's tied to a typewriter anymore, Colin. We have keyboards and electronic devices.
I'd like to think so.
Colin, one of those writers is on the phone now.
You said garbage books.
That's what I heard.
But it's supposed to be cheesy and campy, and that's fine.
Okay.
This movie just doesn't work altogether. They add too many elements.
Let me ask you this, because as I said, I didn't see the first one, and I am kind of on a
anti-Tom Cruise.
Ever since seeing that Scientology documentary a couple of years ago, Alex Gibney piece, it was just devastating about Tom Cruise. So, but I have seen several other Tom Cruise movies before that, and so I'm curious, what's the difference between Jack Reacher in the Jack Reacher movies, Ethan Hunt in the Mission Impossible movies, and whatever the character was he played in that one with Cameron Diaz called Night and Day? They all seem to be secret government agents who have some amazing powers, and there are chases, and they always get the bad guy.
I will say this. I think his character from Night and Day and Jack Reacher had the same similarity, that they will no longer be in movies because this movie killed the franchise he wanted to build.
Oh.
Again, it's not that it's bad. It's just there's no reason to ever make another one of these. This was muddled at times. The big twist you're going to see coming in one form or another. And when you're talking about sort of a whodunit action thrillers, what you're trying to set up, something centered around an investigator, where he's got to blow the lid off this thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you can see the big reveal coming, it sort of takes the punch out of it.
Yeah.
The action scenes are not as large as they were in the first. It's all sort of close quarters combat, and there's a few explosions, but it's smaller on scale than Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible is a human doing literally impossible things.
Mm-hmm.
Scaling the Burj Khalifa with suction cups. Hanging on to the side of a cargo airplane. This is much smaller than that, and that's actually what I like about Jack Reacher, is it's just, he's an investigator who's good at fighting people. He's not indestructible. He's good at what he does, and he's going to be better at being good than you are at being bad.
Okay.
That I like. That's refreshing. It feels more like a Bruce Willis, John McClane in the early ones, where it's just like, Bruce Willis and John McClane in those early movies was so great because he was just going to be a better good guy than you were a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter what he had to do. And that's refreshing. These are not on the same level with Die Hard. Don't get me wrong there. But that's sort of the aesthetic I think they go for.
Okay.
It's just, it's a muddled story.
What do you give it on a scale of 10?
4 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
And I really think he's been pretty open about his desire, and he pushed hard for the second Jack Reacher. Because the first Jack Reacher made $80 million domestically, which doesn't sound...
That's nothing for a Tom Cruise movie.
But it made another $160 million overseas. Oh. I mean, the guy doesn't make bombs. He's the most bankable movie star. And I'm putting a little asterisk in the air.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, we talked about this last year with Mission Impossible. This guy, in his entire career, has made, like, two movies that were out-and-out bombs, and everything else he is in has made money. Yeah. So that's what he does. This is just not very good. And I will say it's the first movie I've seen him in where he looks old.
Mm.
Older. He's still pretty amazing, but I guess part of it was at one point he's running next to Kobe Smulders, and she's keeping up with him. And it's not like he's running slowly. It honestly looks like Tom Cruise just can't run as fast as he used to.
Wow.
Which sounds odd to say, mm-hmm. because I want to see him in Mission Impossible Forever.
It would have been great if she could run faster, and then you could yell out, Jack, reach her!
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, see? Always.
Thank you.
That was a Dan joke. Man. I'm proud of you, Paul.
Dan, don't you have a question about this movie?
Is it a true story?
No. In fact,
come on.
What I will say
come
is...
Come on, one of these times it has to be.
The Accountant is the better... Ben Affleck is in the better action movie, which is odd to say.
Yeah. You know, I didn't see it before you reviewed it, but based on your review, I went to see it this week.
Did you hate it?
No, I actually liked it. I thought I like Ben Affleck a lot more than other people do. I think he was very, very good in the lead, very well cast. Anna Kendrick and J.K. Simmons, impossible for them to give bad performances.
Yeah.
John Lithgow does not chew the scenery.
No.
Which he does in too many of his earlier movies. You got Gene Smart, you got Jeffrey Tambor. I was confused. The guy who plays the enforcer, I'm not going to give anything away here, but you know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
The enforcer who has to come in and
deal
with some things. The whole time I thought to myself, oh my God, Dylan McDermott's finally in a good movie. And it's not Dylan McDermott.
No,
it is John Bernthal. Huh?
Walking Dead is what you would know him. He was Rick Grimes' deputy in The Walking Dead.
Okay.
He's also the Punisher on Marvel's Netflix series.
Shane from Walking Dead,
yes.
Okay. I also want to mention an actress named Cynthia Adai Robinson, who plays J.K. Simmons' assistant.
Uh-huh.
She was really good You know, sometimes you watch a movie, you go, okay, this person's not getting billed anywhere near the title of the movie. They're like seven or eight characters down on the IMDb list, and you have to go look them up. She was that good that I had to go look her up. Cynthia Adai Robinson. I think we'll hear more from her. I gave it a 7 out of 10, The Accountant.
It was fun. I do want to say something about Jack Reacher. It was directed by Edward Zwick.
Mm-hmm.
Zwick, it's a fun Zwick. Last name. Zwick, yeah.
Yeah.
But Zwick is more fun to
he's
say.
He's the guy with Marshall Herskovitz who did 30-something back in the 80s.
Yes, he did.
And he's also gone on to do things. I think he directed Glory.
He did direct Denzel Glory.
Washington.
Exactly. He directed movies that you're like, wait, 30-something, Glory, and then he did Blood Diamond, which you haven't seen, with Leonardo DiCaprio. I think is worth going back and watching. He did Last Samurai with Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a movie called The Siege. Do you remember this one?
Yes, Denzel Washington, Annette Bening, a bus full of people being held by terrorists in New York City.
Exactly. They blow up a bus. You see these bad guy movies where it's always implied. In The Siege, these are bad guys,
yes,
and they do bad things.
And you see the bad things.
The movie isn't particularly great, but I like it for that reason.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing. It's the same reason I will watch Swordfish every now and then. It's bad guys actually doing bad stuff, and I like.
You're watching that because Halle Berry's naked.
No, she's not, is she?
Yes. Why else would I say that?
I'm going to get it this weekend.
Yeah, like you didn't notice that in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't remember that.
I've only ever seen that clip of the movie and not the entire thing.
Do you still have your Mr. Skin subscription?
Is that where you're saying? You don't need that for that.
Not anymore, you don't.
No.
Not anymore.
Talk about creating a job for yourself in the industry. Just watched the movies and said, here's where naked women are.
I think that was the idea of Knocked Up. Wasn't that what...
Exactly.
Yes, that's what they did.
That's what Seth Rogen and his
it's a whole team of them putting together a website.
And then somebody said, so this will be like Mr. Skin? And they went, what? What? There's already some... You mean we spent all these hours?
Yes. A Jack Reacher's going to run into tough competition in the box office from the Madea movie, which sounds... horrible to say, but
okay.
I'm not a fan of the Madea movies, and I can say that because a friend and I
should
sat
say
down.
The full title of the movie, which is Tyler Perry's How Is Madea Not Dead Yet?
Yes, or Boo, a Madea Halloween,
okay,
as it's known.
Frankly, Madea, I don't care to see this next movie.
Hey! Hello, everybody.
I've watched all of them. I've seen every Madea movie.
You have?
Really?
Yes.
Why?
So that I can say I don't like them. Because
you know what? I've seen none of them, and I can tell you, I don't like them.
I don't like
them. But it's kind of like when your kids try new food. It's like, you can't say you don't like that until you tried it. So,
Nope. Don't have to eat Brussels sprouts to know. Don't need to eat Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm. I think I would have liked if the movie was someone just eating Brussels sprouts more than some of those movies.
The other movie that's coming out this weekend, you tell me if it's going to do any box office, is called Keeping Up with the Joneses, which I went to see last night, and it stars Zach Galifianakis and Isla Fisher. Isla Fisher made a fantastic debut in 2005 in Wedding Crashers with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. She was the one, remember I talked about an actress, you have to go check her out and find out who that is because she made such an impression? Well, that's her, Isla Fisher. She and Zach Galifianakis are Karen and Jeff. She's an interior designer. He's a human resources manager for a company that is involved somewhere in the military industrial complex, but we don't know exactly where, and it doesn't really matter.
Isn't he in another movie that's out, too?
Masterminds.
Masterminds.
Which came out a few weeks ago, which Colin hated.
Hated.
Mm-hmm.
Hated.
They hated it. They delayed it for, like, 2 years.
As much as Madea?
No, nothing is as bad as some of the other movies.
The other couple in this movie, John Hamm and Gal Gadot, who is the new Wonder Woman for Marvel. They are the new neighbors in the neighborhood, Tim and Natalie, a travel writer and a food blogger. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Isla Fisher and Gal Gadot are two really, really, really beautiful women. John Hamm and Zach Galifianakis are one really, really, really beautiful man.
Well, that's a fair way to put that.
I think even Zach Galifianakis go, yeah, that's about right. In this character, Jeff, Zach's character, bonds with the John Hamm character, Tim, develops a man crush on him, but Karen, the Isla Fisher character, suspects that the new neighbors, are not what they say they are. They may be beautiful people, and she, you know, she was a former Miss Israel, and she's...
Wonder Woman.
Absolutely gorgeous. She thinks that there's something wrong about them, and turns out that she's right. Now, I'm not going to give away much other than that Hamm is a funny guy when he's playing the straightest character possible. You know, when he was on 30 Rock, he was not playing his character to be funny like Tracy Morgan was. Mm-hmm. He was playing it completely straight, and that's what made it funny. And, you know, you may only know him from Mad Men and a couple of other things, Million Dollar Arm and a couple of other movies that he's made over the last few years. I think this is probably one of his best movie performances because he plays it so straight that it's hysterically funny.
He was in Bridesmaids, too. He was the...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was playing it completely straight in mm-hmm. that one, too.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy was chewing up all the scenery.
Yeah. Literally.
Yes.
Bouncing off of it.
Now, I will say about Zach Galifianakis, there are times where he's okay, and there are other times where he is way over the top. In this one, he is much more pulled in and plays it much lower key, as you would if you were playing a human resources manager who gets involved in a story that gets just over his head. And that's what happens. And Isla Fisher and Gal Gadot, aside from both being very attractive, they're both very, very good, especially, and here's the scene for Ian, especially in a scene in the changing room of a lingerie store.
Oh, yeah.
That made it into the trailers.
It did.
That scene you're talking, yes, it made it into the trailers.
That scene alone may get guys to go see this movie. And by the way, it's worth it.
Whoa.
There's also a very good car chase in this movie. There's a goofy bad guy played perfectly by Patton Oswalt, who I like a lot. The supporting cast has Matt Walsh and Kevin Dunn. I didn't love this movie. It's not a great movie. It's okay. It's a pleasant diversion at the movies. Dan, you're going to love this movie.
It's a comedy, if you go right? See
it. Yeah, it's a comedy. The special effects are good. The car chases are good. The actors are all good. The directing is good. There's nothing wrong with this. It's just not great. I give it a 6 out of 10. Keeping up with the Joneses.
Now compare it to Date Night. Steve Carell, Tina Fey from a few years back.
That's a good question, and I would put it right around the same rating.
Because I'm curious, when I saw the previews for this, I'm like, oh, they remade Date Night with two more attractive people.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
It's not quite that. I really am trying not to give too much away because this is a movie that does contain surprises in the plot. And the more you know, the less you're going to enjoy it.
Okay.
I went in there knowing nothing except that they were neighbors. That this adorable, beautiful couple moved in next to this normal suburban couple on a cul-de-sac. And things went wrong. Now, there was a movie a couple years ago called Neighbors.
Yeah.
Wasn't Zach Galifianakis in that?
I don't know.
Wait, Neighbors with Seth Rogen and Zac Efron.
Oh, Zac Efron. Okay.
Zac Efron.
Okay.
Oh, that was the...
This is very handsome.
This is not that movie.
Yes.
This is something a little bit better than that. I recommend it, but again, I only give it a 6 out of 10. So,
and not too crude in there, really. It's a bit more friendly, I'd have to think.
Yeah, it's not a family movie, but it's
better than Sausage Party.
It's not Sausage acceptable. Party. Is that our new mark?
That is our new mark now, yes. How crude is it?
The new standard for how gross the things get?
It used to be the Farrelly Brothers, and now it's Sausage Party.
Yeah. Okay.
Which was funny.
Yeah. Speaking of sausages, Wiener premieres on Showtime this weekend.
And I haven't heard, are they going to add an addendum? Because if you don't know what the Wiener documentary is about, it's about Anthony Wiener going back and trying to run for mayor of New York.
This is the guy who was a congressman from somewhere in New York City. Who got caught sexting pictures of his junk to women who were not his wife.
Had to leave.
Got kicked out of Congress.
Runs again.
For mayor.
And it happens again.
Yes.
Carlos Danger. This is the whole Carlos Danger from a handful of years back.
Yeah.
Well, he was again trying to make a comeback and just recently got caught sexting pictures with their toddler son, like, on the couch behind him asleep.
Sexting the pictures to a 15-year-old girl.
Yes, to a girl.
Yeah.
So the question was, would they add if you haven't seen this, you should watch it. It's one of the best documentaries of the year, I think.
Yeah.
And if you have, it might be worth rewatching to see if the they put in like a postscript on Showtime to talk about this. Yeah. Because if there's anyone who has access to Anthony Weiner, it's these makers, because this is mind-blowing, the level of access.
Well, I first of all, I mentioned at the time that the movie came out, and I reviewed it on the show, his wife, Huma Abedin, who has now left him, taken the kid and left him. She's finally fed up with that. And she's one of Hillary Clinton's top advisors.
Yes.
So she didn't need any of this. But in the movie, Weiner, Huma Abedin, the wife, can't believe that there are cameras in the room recording them at some of the worst, lowest moments of her life while she's dealing with her husband, who is sexting his junk to various women. And you get it on camera. Yes. Now, there was a rumor that the people who made this movie released that footage without her permission. But here's how you know that rumor isn't true. She didn't sue them.
Yes.
Because she would have sued them to stop this movie from ever going out if they put a frame of her on the screen without her permission.
Yeah.
That being said, it is still so uncomfortable to watch that you have to watch it.
You're seeing a marriage almost disintegrate. Like, any other marriage, I feel, would have just poof, gone up. Oh, this would have ended it, and it should have. It doesn't. And you're seeing someone who's so delusional and believes that he's the right person for the job, and people overlook all of his foibles or whatever, that you see him constructing lies. We all know politicians lie to us. Very rarely are you looking through a camera at someone saying, well, here's what I'm going to tell them, and knowing that in his head, he's lying. Yeah. Like, yes, I'm going to lie. I know I'm going to lie. And him being, oh, yeah, I'm cool with this.
Also, there's been a lot of talk this year about the temperament of politicians. This guy's temperament, he has a hair-trigger temperament. There's one scene in the movie, I think I probably talked about this when I reviewed it. There's one scene in the movie where he's leaving a building and a guy says something to him that's not very nice.
Yes.
And here's a guy who at the time was running for mayor. You want to have a good public image if you're running for mayor, because you want people to like you and vote for you. But Anthony Weiner's brain is so twisted, he can't help but turn around and confront the guy with his nose an inch away from the other guy's face, yelling back and forth in the middle of this delicatessen. It's just, and we're watching this, and it's real. You always ask, is this a true story?
Yeah.
This is the truest story I've seen this year.
Yeah.
So if you have Showtime,
you should
watch it this weekend.
And if you don't have Showtime, you should find this and watch it, because I think it's going to be nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Because it's very good. And it's uncomfortable, crazy, everything you can think. If you want to see what goes on behind the scenes of a high-powered local election, here you go.
A high-powered disaster.
Yes.
Of an election.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Now, before we take a break, I just got my phone lit up with a Hollywood Reporter alert that you're going to be interested in, because you're Mr. Star Wars. Did you know there's going to be a new young Han Solo movie?
Oh, yeah.
Who's playing Han Solo?
It is the guy from the Coen Brothers film from last year, Hail Caesar, the young singing cowboy.
Okay, Alden Ehrenreich.
Yes, I can't remember his name.
Okay. They've just announced Donald Glover will play Lando Calrissian.
Oh, wow.
Who's Donald Glover?
Donald Glover was in Community as Troy in Community. He has an FX show called Atlanta right now that is very good comedy. And he is also the rapper, Ian, help me with this.
Atlanta?
No, he has a rap career as well.
Oh, a real rap career?
A real rap career.
Oh, I don't know about that.
He has a rap career.
Okay, so are you happy that he's going to be playing the Billy Dee Williams?
Oh, of course,
Billy Dee Williams?
He's got sort of the same swagger just naturally. I think it'll be fun to see how they interact. And I think the other nice thing is he's a relatively undiscovered, despite the work that he has, I think he's undiscovered in that way. And I think that'll be neat. Childish Gambino is his rap name.
Childish Gambino?
Gambino. Yes.
All right. When we come back, we've got some more showbiz stuff for you, including a couple of things to watch for on Netflix. Here, as we continue with the showbiz stuff here on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, let's get a look at
traffic right now.
Incidentally, before Tim comes in with traffic, I want to mention that we were supposed to have Adam Conover on the show an hour ago.
He can be on with us, actually, in...
He can do 440?
440, yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that, and we'll come back and talk to him.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he has a show called Adam Ruins Everything.
Yeah.
And frankly, he was ruining our show.
I know. So he lived up to his name.
Okay. So we'll get to him in just a few minutes. Now, go ahead, Tim. How are the roads?
Adam ruins everything. Paul ruins my traffic report. Thank you.
Wow.
Like that's something new.
Yeah, right.
Whoa.
All right. Let me gather my senses here. We got some good news. They cleared the highways both directions. Northbound 270 at Manchester, that stall is gone. You're still running stop and go between Big Bend and a little bit north of Doherty Ferry, but then it opens up pretty well after that. They've moved the accident on southbound 270 at Manchester off to the right shoulder. It's on flatbed trucks. The bad news there, all lanes are open. The bad news, you're jammed up solid north of Dorset down through Manchester. We're taking westbound Highway 40, and they have that stall tractor trailer still on the right shoulder past Timberlake Manor. The police and MoDOT are blocking the right lane. It's heavy from 141, and then we're jammed up pretty well now from Highway 94 out through about Lake St. Louis Boulevard, and then things open up. Get a little heavy as you approach Highway 70. The downtown bridge approach, that was jammed solid now from Grand up to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices every day on the office items you use most, like ink and paper. See store or staples.com for special deals and additional savings on printers, ink, and toner. Staples, make more happen. I'm Tim Weiland with your Vincent Mortgage Airborne Traffic.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, NMLS number 225095.
It's Jim Huer. Every Thursday night, tune in to the Big Sports Show for a chance to win a Mizzou Hover helmet. To get registered every night during the Big Sports Show from 6:30 to 9, text your name and Hover helmet to 84126. That gets you registered for that opportunity to win the Mizzou Hover helmet right here on your home for the Missouri Tigers, the Big 550, KTRS.
We are Mizzou.
No company sells and installs more windows than Window World. Hi, everybody. McGraw-Milhaven here for the number one replacement window company here in St. Louis. I've been a spokesman of theirs for at least 12 years, and they have grown exponentially because they have a very simple formula. Great customer service and great windows. In fact, the windows come with the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. Window World Windows comes with a lifetime warranty that covers all the parts, glass breakage, as well as labor. For the last 6 years in a row, they've sold over 1 million windows nationwide. Why is that? Because they stand behind their product. Window World. If you're looking for windows, there really is no other company. I would put my reputation behind it. Window World Windows, 314-993-1800. That's 314-993-1800 or windowworld.com. For the best windows at the best price, best customer service, windowworld.com.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100-plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them. Thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100-plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/work. That's ZipRecruiter.com/work. ZipRecruiter.com/work.
Hi, Susan. What's wrong? You look frustrated.
Did you hear Katie Stewart supports a Chicago bailout?
What?
Yep, Katie Stewart wants to take $20 million away from our schools to pay for Chicago pensions. If Katie Stewart gets her way, our property taxes will go through the roof.
$20 million taken away from our schools to bail out Chicago. What is Katie Stewart thinking?
Pretty obvious to me why Katie Stewart wants to bail out Chicago. Her campaign is bankrolled by Chicago political boss Mike Madigan.
Katie Stewart won't be getting my vote. We need someone who'll fight to keep our money right here.
That's why I'm voting for Dwight K for state representative. He's fighting to fully fund our schools and would never bail out Chicago. Did you know Dwight K cut his own pay 10% and refused the lavish pension lawmakers receive? K even supports term limits and real property tax relief for homeowners.
Sounds like Dwight K is working hard for us in the Metro East. I'm voting for Dwight K, too.
Dwight K. He cut his pay 10%, refused the lavish pension, and supports term limits. Dwight K for state representative. He's bringing common sense back to Illinois. Paid for by Citizens for K.
Cold St. Louis weather is just right around the corner.
Now, don't be surprised when you turn on your furnace.
Get your furnace checked out now for the winter season. Give K&K Heating and Cooling a call today at 636-493-6635. Save money by making sure your furnace is running as efficiently as possible. A furnace tune-up not only includes cleaning that keeps your furnace running efficiently, but also catches small problems before they turn into major and costly repairs. K&K Heating and Cooling meets the highest professional standards in the business, from our employee training to ongoing customer service. We take pride in our fast response time, quality workmanship, and a friendly staff with over 25 years of experience in residential HVAC. Call today at 636-493-6635. K&K works on all brands and all types of heating equipment. A furnace safety check includes the cleaning and the inspection of the furnace burner and the heat exchanger. Call K&K Heating and Cooling, 636-493-6635.
Join in the fun this Friday and Saturday at the largest indoor yard sale at the Belle Claire Fairgrounds in Belleville.
You'll find some great deals with over 500 tables under one roof.
If you want to beat the crowd and get a sneak peek,
there's an early bird fee of $5 on Friday from 4 to 7 p.m.
On Saturday, it's free.
It's the largest indoor yard sale this Friday evening and Saturday till 2 p.m.
at the Belle Claire Fairgrounds.
Call 618-223-0052
or go to bcfairgrounds.net.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
That is the theme song for a TV show called Adam Ruins Everything, which airs Tuesday nights at 9 Central on True TV. I mentioned recently that I did not know this show when it aired in its first season last year, but I discovered it about a month or 5 weeks ago, and since then I've been binge-watching it because True TV reruns all the episodes so many times in the course of a week that I've been able to catch up with all the stuff from the first year, and I absolutely love this show, and that's why I've invited the host, Adam Conover, to join us here today. Hi, Adam. How are you?
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
It's my pleasure. You and I have something in common.
Oh, what is it?
I dropped out of the college where your father is a professor.
Wait, really?
Yeah,
really. He just switched universities. Is it SUNY Stony Brook or University of Oregon?
Stony Brook.
Oh, yeah, he just moved to Oregon. But, yeah, you dropped out of that college?
Yes, I did. I had to. Somebody offered me a $90 a week radio job.
Hey, well, you made a big gig. I disappointed my dad too. My whole family is all PhDs, they're all academics. But instead of going into that, I became a filthy comedian. So as far as my parents are concerned, getting a bachelor's degree is dropping out too. So we have that in common.
I mentioned how much I like the show because, as a skeptic, I'm happy to have another show that's in the tradition of Penn and Teller's BS and what Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman was doing on MythBusters. Do you see those as your predecessors?
Those are certainly influences on me. You know, I loved Penn and Teller's show when it aired. It's close to a decade ago now, but I was a big fan of that show, and I love what MythBusters do as well. You know, and that certainly informed part of it. You know, I also, you know, really consider myself to be doing sort of post John Stewart comedy. You know, he was really my sort of Johnny Carson figure, like the person who I watched every night and taught me how to, what comedy was capable of doing in the world. You know,
yep.
So that's the big difference, I think, between me and those other shows is, you know, Penn and Teller, they call themselves magicians. I would call myself a comedian. So the way that we do our show is a little bit different.
Yeah, but the show really digs in with a lot of research and debunks a lot of things that people might have thought was true or might have even thought was common sense. Things like, you know, you have to drink 8 glasses of water a day. You said no.
Yep, that's true.
You know, the job salaries, voting, football, mm-hmm. Eyeglasses, the the TSA. I was so happy to see you have Bruce Schneier on there talking about security theater when you did that.
Fascinating. I would have been ashamed if we hadn't, considering he invented the term. So once we used it, we were like, we got to get this guy. He was. That was a really funny segment because he is so busy constantly flying from place to place that he wasn't able to come to L.A. to make our shoot. So instead, we shot him remotely and had him appear on an iPad broadcasting from a secure location.
Yeah.
So like Edward Snowden does when he's giving a talk, where they put his face on an iPad and then put that on a Segway and have it, you know, like be a simulacrum for him. So
you also had another guest on there who's another one of my heroes, Elizabeth Loftus. You did a thing on forensic science, and she was on there talking about the unreliability of eyewitness testimony, and this is something that actually affects people's lives, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, because the thing is, we have this idea that the memory is like this perfect recording device, you know, but it isn't, and her research shows that it isn't. It's more like, it's kind of like a story that your brain tells itself over and over again, you know, and every time you remember something, you might change a detail, and other people can either purposefully or accidentally, you know, change your memory, right? So what she's found is that even the process of a cop asking someone to pick a person out of a lineup, you know, is that the person you remember, the cop can unconsciously cue the witness to be, oh, this is the right person, this is the person I want you to select, and then that person's memory can change. And then on the witness stand, they'll later say, oh, that was the man that I saw, even though they didn't, you know, and she's verified this through experimentation, that our memories are extremely, extremely malleable. And her work is really fascinating because it cuts to our own notion of ourselves, you know, because we have this idea that, oh, everything we remember really happened to us, and that's who we are. You know, we're made up of those memories. But in fact, all of those memories are totally flexible. They could have changed over time.
She's even done experiments where she implanted false memories in some of the subjects.
Yes, yes, and was able to do it repeatedly, you know, proving that it was a it wasn't a fluke that she was able to do it. Yeah, I think what they did was they said to people, don't you remember a time earlier in your life when you were lost in a mall? We find that's common in people your age or whatever, and then people would report that, yes, they had been lost in a mall when they were younger and be able to, like, fill in all the details and things like that from their memory, even though it never happened to them.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, that's the sort of stuff I'm glad to see getting some distribution on TV, because this is the sort of stuff that doesn't get much attention from mainstream media. And so I'm not saying that your alternative media on Adam ruins everything, but you're doing good work there. I'm curious what topic that you've touched on has gotten the biggest reception from viewers.
Oh, well, let's see. I mean, our original, our very first topic was about how the De Beers Diamond Cartel created the idea of the diamond engagement ring in the 30s, that they were trying to sell more diamonds, so they invented this idea that, you know, a man should get a woman an expensive ring that should cost 2 months' salary when they get engaged, and they promulgated it through this massive ad campaign, and then, you know, everyone forgot about the ad campaign, but we still have a tradition to this day, right? That was our very first segment. It was the one that I sort of made my career on, and it's the one that people know me for the most, and it's the one that's gotten the most, you know, the most hits online by far. We also did a lot about last year. We did an episode about voting, where we sort of explained how the Electoral College and how gerrymandering works, and how those, you know, issues sort of make our election system less democratic than we'd like it to be. That got such a huge response that this year we're doing a whole election special that's going to air on True October 25th, 10 p.m. It's an hour-long show that we filmed in front of a live audience in LA, where I sort of talk about a lot of the myths and misconceptions about this election and break them down, sort of like a stand-up TED Talk, basically. I got a PowerPoint. I show lots of funny slides and video clips and punchlines. We have actors playing Thomas Jefferson. It's awesome.
Yeah, that airs this Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Central Time for those of us here in St. Louis.
We got to do time zones next on the show. They're very silly as well, and I always get them wrong.
Now that's a show I'm going to watch, but I'll probably set the DVR wrong. I saw a clip from the election special in which you explained to the audience that people may think that this is a unique election year, but you say it's just a rerun. What does that mean?
Well, it's not that every single part of it is a rerun, but so many of the things that we think are crazy about this election we must have never seen before have happened in past elections. So, for instance, you know, Trump in particular is, you know, people say, oh, he's made our political discourse like far nastier, like he's all this name calling, and this is something we've never seen before. But we looked into it and we found out that when Thomas Jefferson ran against John Adams in the election of 1800, Jefferson hired a newspaper editor to write horrible slander about Adams in the press. He wrote that he was a hideous hermaphroditical character and accused him of being, you know, womanly and things like that. You know, we also found that, for instance, everyone said, oh, you know, Trump bragged about the size of his penis in the debate. Surely that must be new, right? And no, it turns out that Lyndon Johnson himself, very appropriate name, by the way, Lyndon